want to be restored. We want to be changed. We want to be recovered from our sickness, our illness, our backsliding. Father, help us on today. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we glorify you. We praise your name, God. Father, give me clarity of thought and precision of speech, and help me, Lord God, to be able to speak a word that encourages, that builds the believer on today, that convicts the sinner on today, that will cause those to come and say, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for your people. We thank you for the small and great, the young and the old. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you've caused them to be able to hear a word. Anoint their ears to hear. And Father, we ask you now that you look over the celestial banners of heaven and pours out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. Father, heal and deliver. Set us free, dear God. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the blood of Jesus and the Holy Ghost that you give to us. We thank you, Lord. And after you've done all you want to do in this service, we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. We'll join them with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim, the chant, declare one to another that you are holy, God. You are holy, God. You are holy. Your glory fills the earth. And we thank you now. We praise you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Restoration and recovery. Amen. Restoration and recovery. Deliver him from them all. They don't want to hear the good news that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, that any tongue rising against you in judgment shall be condemned, for this is the heritage of the children of God. I wish I had somebody. They don't want to hear the good news that they are more than a conqueror through him that loveth. They don't want to hear that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our own testimony. I wish somebody would be encouraged this morning. They don't want to hear it. They want to stay down, and so they can't go across the brook to pursue. They can't go and get a full recovery themselves. So you got to go recover all for them too. He says to them that, you know, it's okay to stay behind, but we're going, 400 of us, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep on tracking. We got, everybody can't stay behind. Everybody can't give up. Everybody can't faint. And you know what? David didn't criticize them for fainting. He understood them, because if it hadn't been for the Lord, he probably would have fainted too. And so we got to understand that sometimes we can't criticize folk because they can't go as far as we can. And they can't pray as long as we can. And they can't worship God when they're going through. And they can't praise God, but they sit on their blessed assurance and decide, I'm not going to praise God because my pain is too painful for me to lift my hands. But I dare you today, if you got some pain in your life, that if you would lift your hands and give God praise, I guarantee you'll be encouraged. That's the brook Besor. That's the good tiding. That's the refreshment that we need to be able to pursue the enemy. They got to a place to be refreshed. They had no water until they got to the brook, and they got to a place to be refreshed. What is the water? The water is the word of God. They need a refreshment. They need an announcement. Sometimes we need to announce to people how good God is, and let them know that no matter what the enemy stole from you, that you can get it all back. The Bible tells us that the enemy can come in one way, but he'll flee seven. I wish I had somebody in here. We need to know that when the enemy, the Bible said, when the thief is caught, he has to restore seven. So the devil been stealing your stuff and you didn't know he owe you interest on it. You better call your interest into play. You better call and say, look, devil, I know you took that, but you got to give it back. Oh, and give me some more back, because you shouldn't have took it to begin with, because it didn't belong to you. The devil has taken your stuff and he's walked off. And don't you know, for him holding it, the Bible said that he got to pay you more than what he took from. He'd been stealing all this time and you didn't know? Oh, guess what? The Bible said, I hadn't seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the thing that God has in store for him that love him, but has been revealed by his spirit. How can we know except we get in the spirit? How can we understand except the spirit of God tells us what we need to know about how to do what we need to do to get our interest on our stuff? I wish I had somebody here. Oh, come on and give God some praise. The devil's been after your finances. He's been stealing your money a long time. Well, guess what, child? You got some interest that he need to give you back. I know somebody ought to praise him now. When I talk about money, you ought to be happy. You know, we get happy over happenings. Oh, happened that the check came in the mail. Happened that somebody put it in my hand. Happened happened that the enemy, come on, the wealth of the wicked, the sinner, is laid up for the just. And the reason why is because they got to pay interest on what the devil stole and gave to them. Glory to God. Oh, yeah, but you got to be in passionate pursuit of this enemy. We need to know that the devil, when he steals something, that God is not going to let him get away with it. We think the devil's gone with it and he ain't going to come back. But God said, no, he's going to give it back. He has to give it back. Let's go on a little further. I'm almost done here. And they went and they found, they pursued with 400 men. 400 went with David. So it was 401 people. And the verse 11 saying they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. Gave him bread to eat. And they made him to drink water. It's verse 11, verse 12 saying they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. Now, there's a reason they gave him that. There's a reason they gave him that. I want you to understand this. And we got to know that this is revelation here. They gave him bread. Means that they gave him a revelation. They got a revelation here that this man, they got a revelation that this man might know some stuff that might help them in their pursuit. You got to be careful how you handle people along the way when you're in pursuit. Now, he might have been with the group that hurt him, but we got to be able to get the information we need in order to pursue the enemy. And who else can give you the right information about what the enemy's plan is except the enemy? Oh, hallelujah. So we got to be careful how we handle people. Look, they gave him bread. Then they gave him water, which is the word. Amen. Then they gave him fruits of figs. To give people figs, a fruit, figs, means that you come to give them, you come in peace when you offer them figs. Amen. That means you come in peace. That's why Israel or Jerusalem, when you go there, when they speak about Israel, they're talking about the fig tree, the peace, the Jerusalem. It means, the word Jerusalem means the place of peace. Amen. And so when you give them figs or you give them fruit, you offer them the fruit of the Spirit and you're coming in peace. So David was able to use the wisdom of God to give this man bread, water, and figs or fruit. You know what else fruit does to you? Fruit moves some things out of you. Amen. Fruit loosen up those things that's been in y'all. Come on and say amen. And so this man, they needed to get something out of this man so they knew what to put in to this man. I wish I had somebody. We need to help those people to be able to get what we need so that we can pursue the enemy. Amen. Not everybody is really your enemy. Some of them, they are slaves to the enemy. David knew this man was a slave without asking him. David said, who do you belong to when he first seen him? Why did David know that? Because this man apparently must have either had a piercing in his ear or some type of writing on his body like a brand or a tattoo to let him know that he was a slave. Amen. And so David said, because this man is a slave, we don't need to kill other slaves. What we need to do, we need to find out what he knows. Come on and say amen here. Do you know that even in the 1800s, that a lot of folks that was in the Revolutionary War and the Civil War, that a lot of people that were slaves were actually spies because they said anything in front of the slaves because they didn't think nothing of it. They just said, oh, they're just slaves. But the slaves would be very instrumental in giving victory to one side or the other. And so David had an understanding that this man is just a slave. And so guess what? When we find people that are in the world that are just sinners, people who are just slaves to sin, I wish I had somebody. It's not for us to mistreat them. It is for us to give them bread, to give them water, to give them a cake of figs, to come in peace. We're not to condemn them. We're not to beat them down, for they're already slaves. Why you want to beat somebody who's already bound? We are here to come to help to set them free. David is a picture of Jesus going to set the captives free. So he said that he found him, he asked him, and he said, you know what, I know where they are, I know where they were going. He said, my master, I got sick and they left me. You know, some people who are left for dead, God allows you to find them so that they won't die. Amen. We thought our job was just to pursue. We thought our job, just leave him over in the field. We got work to do. But God said, no, I'm leaving. I caused them. Look how God planned this. God caused the Egyptian to get sick, and he caused them to say, we don't want him no more. Just leave him behind. Amen. And God fixed this thing to where David could find somebody who knew exactly where they were. Amen. so the Bible says that they got to the place to where they were. In verse 16, it says they found the enemy, and the enemy was throwing a party about the great spoil that they had. Do you know that the devil, he's throwing a party. When he gets you in a pity party, he's throwing a praise party for himself. Oh, yeah, come on and say amen. The devil, when he gets you down, he's celebrating because he's stolen your joy. When he gets you down and when he gets to your life and start taking things from you, he's celebrating. But you know what? David said, now is the time to catch him off guard. Now is the time to go ahead and attack. When we look at verse 21, it says, then David came to the 200 men. After David attacked, he came to the 200 men. Let me give you the story in between that. David, he attacked them, and the Bible says that he started to whip them from the dust of that evening to the dust of the next day. David, for all night long, whipped the, look, we got to get this, and I'm going to say it slow so you'll get it. The devil who works at night got whooped at night. Y'all don't hear me. We can't be afraid of the dark. We can't be afraid to pray at night, work at night, preach at night. We can't be afraid of the dark. We need to know that even if the devil works in the dark, we got enough light to hold on it. Oh, come on and say, man, to expose his tricks, to expose the mess that he brings in our life. And so we got to understand that we got to fight no matter what time it is. It ain't no certain time to fight. See, we wait till Sunday to come in here talking about we got our spiritual warfare. We ready to fight the devil. I'm not waiting till Sunday. I'm fighting every day of the week. I'm fighting all time of the day and night. Sometimes I go to bed late because I'm praying. Come on and say amen. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night praying. But you know what? Even though we got some stuff that happened to us at night, the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. David said the morning came and I had enough joy to fight, because the Bible said that the joy of the Lord will be my strength. Do I have anybody today that said last night I had to fight and I had enough joy to have the strength to fight this devil that's been fighting my family? He got in my nephew, he got in my cousin, he got in my sister, my auntie, but I fought him anyway. I wish I had somebody. I'm not talking about fighting people, but I'm talking about fighting the enemy. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against evil wickedness in high places. And if you don't know who you're fighting, then I'm trying to let you know it's the devil. It's not me. It's not your brother or sister. It's not the people on this side of the room. It's not your boss. It's not your supervisor. But it's the devil. And since we're fighting the devil, we need to address him as the enemy. And we need to let him know that we're about to bring the fight to you. And how do we bring the fight? We just call God. We get him involved in our situation. Because when we praise him, he inhabits the praises of the nation. Remember what Jehoshaphat did in 2 Chronicles 20:20, the Bible says that he called for the praisers to come. He called for Judah to go out, and he said, this battle is not yours. It belongs to God. How do I get God in my situation? How do I get God to take the battle to the enemy? I just lift my hands and say, God, you got it. I'll just lift my hands and say, the Lord is merciful. Oh, come on and say amen. His mercy endures forever. Do I have anybody in the house that said, I praised the Lord on last night? Oh, when things go bad, when I think about the older people, when things went bad, all it did was make them praise harder. All it did was make them clap a little harder. All it did was make them lift up their voice and sing God a song. I wish I had somebody. I wondered how they got over, and they had an old song that said, my soul looked back and wonder how I, oh, come on and say amen. Anybody wondering this morning? Anybody wonder how you made it? Let me tell you how you made it. You made it through prayer and praise. When I got praise and worship, I borrowed from Paul and Silas when they were in a Philippian jail at midnight when it was nighttime. Don't you know God works best in the dark? Because he looked into the dark and saw nothing, spoke to nothing, and said, let there be, and there was something. Don't you know that God can work? I don't care how dark your life has become. Don't you know that God can give you light in the midst of darkness? Don't you know that he can bring health and healing in the midst of sickness? Come on and shout hallelujah. Oh, I'm about to recover. Tell somebody, I'm recovering all. I'm about to be restored. I'm about to be restored. You're looking at me now, but wait until I get restored. You see what I've been through now. Oh, yeah, this body been damaged, but wait till God restored me. This life been damaged, but you just wait till God recover and restore. I wish I had somebody. And the Bible said David put a whooping on them all night. night, so you work on him at night. Sleep in the daytime and say, I'm staying up tonight to whoop you, devil. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm going to stay up. I'm on the night shift. It's my time to pray. It's my time to pray. Do I have somebody that say, I don't care when the devil come my way. I know what I got for him. Give him a praise. Give God a praise and give the devil a black eye. Give God a praise and stump the devil's head. Oh, come on and say amen here. Look, I got a Facebook page, and I killed a snake the other day. It was a little garden snake, but I stumped his head until he died. And I said, you know what? I'm going to send a message. I'm going to let the devil know that this is what I'm all about. I'm here to stump your head. That's what I'm here to do. I'm not here to play with you. I'm not here to pat a cake with you. I'm here to stump your head to let you know that God put me here to do this. God put me here to have victory. He didn't put me here to be defeated. He put me here to be an example of what he can do in the earth. But anybody here with me today that decide today, I'm not going to let the devil push me around. I'm not going to let him have my children. I'm not going to let him have my wife, my daughter, my son. But I'm going to make sure that I stomp his head. I told somebody the other day, I said, I haven't seen a snake live past 5 minutes. And then they thought about it. I said, oh, you killed him? I said, yeah. After 5 minutes, when I find something to put in my hand, or if I can stomp that head, he's gone. And so we can't let the devil hang around us for 5 minutes. We need to let him know. We need, the Bible saying that if we resist the devil, then he shall what? Flee from us. And I don't know about you, but I'm here to resist this devil. I'm here to let him know that he don't have no way in my life. I'm here to let him know, like Jesus said, the prince of this world come, he has nothing in me. He don't have no proof in me. He don't have no way in me. He don't have a stronghold in me. Come on and say man. But David whooped the devil all night. And the Bible says that David recovered all. Do I have anybody that said that David recovered all? Verse 18, it said that David recovered all that the Amalekites had, and he carried it away and rescued his wife. Anybody need to be rescued? You need to be rescued sometime from yourself. You need to be rescued from the opinions of others. You need to be rescued from people lying on you, talking about you. You need to be rescued from the debt that you got yourself in. Preach. You need to be rescued from your sorry friends. Preach. You need to be rescued from your husband. Come on. Your wife. You need to be rescued from some stuff. And God is saying that I'm here to rescue you. Come on and say amen. David rescued him and he recovered all. Verse 19 said they did not lack anything small or great. He said that they took everything, and not only that, but whatever the Amalekites had took from other folks, David got it. Preach up in here. You see, some things have been taken by the devil. You need to know that God intends for it to end up in your hand. While he's out stealing, while he's out taking stuff, God said, you know what? I wanted to intend for it to end up in your hands. And so I let the devil take it from over here, from somebody who didn't deserve it. And I brought it all the way over here by the devil's hand so that you could have it. I wish I had somebody here. Oh, yeah. He tells us, the Bible says, and David recovered all again in verse 19. And verse 20 says that David took all the cattle. He took all the stuff. And he came in verse number 21 to the men that had fainted, the ones that couldn't make it on the journey, the ones who couldn't go and fight for themselves, the ones who couldn't go and get their children and cattle back. But David came to them and said, I'm going to give you everything you deserve. I wish I had somebody. David didn't say, because you didn't go with us, I ain't going to give you nothing but your wife back, because I don't want her. He didn't say that. He said, I'm going to give you everything that you deserve right back. And see, that's what we got to do. We got to have some people that's willing to pursue this enemy, some people that's willing to take back what the devil stole from them. I remember T.D. Jakes made it famous when he said, we're going to go to the enemy's camp and take back what the devil stole from us. Do I have anybody ready to go with me? I know the devil stole your job, but let's go get it back. I know he stole your peace, but let's go get it back. I know he stole your health, but let's go get it back. Did he steal your relationship? Let's go. Come on. Snatch it back. Tell you can't have that. That belongs to me. Oh, come on and say, man, do I have anybody? The devil stole your children, but you know what? I'm not letting you have my kids. God gave them to me, and I'm taking them back. Come on and shout hallelujah. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Whatever he stole, you can get it back. But David said, I can give back to these people. These 200 men who wouldn't be encouraged, this ought to encourage you. The 200 men that would not, that didn't have enough strength, this ought to strengthen you. Come on and say, man, David gave it to him, and he didn't ask no questions. But I want to close by going just a little bit further here. The verse number 27 says that the first thing that David did whenever he got back all the spoils, the Bible said that he went to Bethel, and he gave Bethel something. What are you talking about, preacher? What's Bethel? Bethel means the house of God. Beth is the house. El means God. David went to the house of God and said, I got to give something to the church, because if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I never would have recovered what God had for me. I never would have recovered what God gave to me. Do I have anybody that say, I'm anointed to recover? I'm anointed to be restored. I'm getting a full recovery. Come on and say amen here. We need to understand that we got to get in a place of recovery. Come on and give God some praise. Anybody ever been to the hospital? They got a place called the recovery room, and what it means to be in recovery is that the operation was successful, and we just want you to sleep till you wake up, preach. And so what I'm trying to tell you here, that the operation God had in your life, it was successful for your life, and God say all you need to do is rest, all you need to do is sleep. Can't nobody come disturb you, can't no family members come in, ain't nobody but the doctor and the nurse. So who am I talking about? Ain't nobody but Jesus and the Holy Ghost can come in your room during your time of recovery. Come on and shout hallelujah. Come on and give God some praise. I'm in a place of recovery. I'm in a place of being restored. And since God is the one restoring me, I can't complain about how he restores. I just need to let him have his way. And by letting him have his way, sometimes he has to rub on me. Sometimes he has to scrape on me. Sometimes he has to remove some stuff out of me in order to restore me. But I'm so glad that the Lord is restoring me. I'm so glad that the Lord has recovered me. Do I have any witnesses? The whole story that we read here. Come on and shout yes. The whole story that we read here is the story, and the Bible says that the Old Testament is a shadow of the things to come in the New Testament. It was the family of God that had been taken captive by the devil, but God sent the beloved one. I wish I had somebody. David's name means beloved. He sent Jesus Christ to come and find us. He said, go pursue the enemy and take back everything that he stole in the Garden of Eden. So David was a picture of Jesus. Oh, come on and shout yes here. What I'm trying to let you know is that through David, Jesus was working through him. Well, how was Jesus working through David? Because the Bible says that Jesus is the root and the branch. Come on and shout amen here. He's the root and the branch. He's able to work through David to set the captives free. Do I have anybody that say, I've been a captive into some way in my life? I've been a captive to sin. I've been a captive to sickness. I've been a captive to depression. But the Lord has delivered me. Come on and shout yes here and give God some praise. Anybody feel a recovery coming? I feel a restoration coming, because after I'm restored, I'm not going to be worth those few pennies that I was before I was restored. But after God restores me and fills me with his Holy Ghost, I'm worth more now than I was in the beginning of this thing. I got more now than I had before they stole it. That's what David said. I got so much, I can give some away. Oh, come on and shout yes here. That's why the Bible says that God will bless us. The blessing will overtake us. Do I have anybody that said, Lord, I'm waiting on the blessing to overtake me? Come on and shout yes here and give
give God some praise and let the world know that I'm in recovery now. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm in recovery. You're looking at me now, and I don't have it all just yet, but I'm in recovery. Just hang on a few months, and you're going to see the real deal. Hang on a few months, and you see a real recovery. I have a testimony that'll make the demons tremble. I'll have a testimony that'll make the church house shout. Do I have any witnesses that say, I'm in recovery? I've been through the storm and rain, but I'm still here. I've been through heartaches and pains, but I'm still here. I'm just waiting to my recovery period so I can walk out of this room and let everybody know that there is a God that sits high and looks low. There is a God that don't slumber nor sleep. Come on and shout yes. Shout hallelujah. Do I have anybody that said, not only am I recovering, but I'm being restored? Oh, come on and say amen here. Won't God restore you? Won't God paint you up? Won't God fix you up? Come on and shout yes here and give God some praise. He gave us Jesus, who died on a rugged cross one Friday evening. The Bible say he died, but early, say early, say early, Sunday morning, he got up. Did he get up? He said, if I be lifted up, will you help me lift Jesus? Church, will you help me lift him? I'll draw all men unto me. He said, he that I have in my hand, can no man pluck out. So I can't be stolen now, because I'm in the hand of the Lord. Somebody say yes. He rose with power. Anybody know that power? Power to restore you, power to reconcile you, power to recover you. Somebody say yeah. Come on and shout glory. Shout glory. Come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you're looking at me now. I still got some ways to go. I'm still in a process of being restored. But glory be to God. I may not be what I ought to be, but thanks be to God, I ain't what I used to be. I'm a work in progress. He's working on me now. Can you see God working? Come on and shout yeah. Shout glory. I'm in recovery mode. I say I'm in recovery mode. Anybody recovering with me? See, in order to be in recovery, you got to yield to somebody. You got to put your life in somebody's hands. I'm putting my life in the hands of Dr. Jesus. Come on and shout yes. Now I'm about to get out of your way, because I know you're ready to go home. But before I go, look at your neighbor. Grab him by a hand and say, neighbor, I want to let you know, I may not know three things, I may not know two things, but one thing I know, I know he's all right. I say, is he all right? Come on, is he all right? Say yeah. Say yeah. Is he all right? Won't he recover you? Won't he restore you? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? Won't God give you strength when you're weak? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? I guarantee you, if you trust him, that if you try him, that he'll make a way for you. Won't God do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right.
This is KAYT, Gina. Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 News.